Welcome to Super Talk, the podcast that scratches your superhero itch. Just two suburban dads nerding out over superhero stuff on the small screen and the big. Buckle up, people. Enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Super Talk, the weekly podcast dedicated to news and reviews of comic book media on the big and small screen. This is episode number 16. I'm your host, Brian Professor Pettis, and with me, as always, is my illustrious co-host, Antonio Estrella Titanio. Titanio! What's going on, brother?
Professor, you're fired up today, man.
You
shot a hell of a game of golf, and you're just in the mood, right? That's great. What a day we had. It's a beautiful day outside, and we have a lot to talk about. What an episode. And by the way, for the record, I'm going to say this right off the bat, Falcon and Winter Soldier, episode 5, my favorite.
Yeah, and we'll get into that. I think in a lot of ways, and my wife has said this, that we were blown away from an expectations perspective with WandaVision, but I think this is exactly what we expected from Marvel with Falcon and Winter Soldier. And in a lot of ways, I think a lot of people prefer this format and this content from what Marvel's given them, is because it's what we're used to. And literally, my wife was watching it with us the other night, and she's like, I so prefer this more than WandaVision.
I can't tell you how many people, and I had the Geek Squad in my house the other day setting up a receiver for me. And
thank you, Geek Squad, because
thank you.
Titanium needs his big screen.
That's right. That's right. And they were saying, you know, a lot of them really had a hard time getting through WandaVision. And also, I can't tell you how many people said that, well, I watched the first two episodes of WandaVision. I never finished it. It was so weird, and I couldn't get through those first two episodes. Now, us as huge Uber Geek fans, we knew what WandaVision was doing. We knew where it was going. And if you watch our other episodes about WandaVision, we can kind of help you through the tough three or four episodes to kind of get through before you get to the meat of that series.
Not that we ever would have done this, but in hindsight, I think we would have enjoyed WandaVision had we been able to binge it within a week. The fact that we had to get a 22-minute episode followed by a week of waiting for several weeks with that show made it really difficult to get, like, gosh, oh, come on, give us the next one.
Yeah.
Whereas Falcon and Winter Soldier, listen, people, we got 60 minutes of Falcon and Winter Soldier this week. Now, you want to discount the credits. It was 52 minutes of content this week.
Yeah.
That's pretty freaking amazing. And I know that there's some slow parts and, you know, some character development and all those other things, but that's what you get in every show. This is literally what I've been waiting for from Marvel.
Yeah. They definitely delivered. They absolutely delivered. And unfortunately, the novice that were waiting for some kind of superhero content from Marvel started WandaVision, and they lost interest pretty quickly. And it's a shame, because they really should finish it out, because it ends very strong. But Falcon and the Winter Soldier, you're right. The first two episodes, you're hooked.
Yeah, and I think we talked about this a little bit last week. I think the COVID-19 pandemic really slowed this show down, primarily because they had a lot of location shoots, right? They had to travel. They had to travel to the Far East. They had to travel to Europe. They had to travel to Louisiana.
Yeah.
And that really hurt them from a production perspective. But the other thing that we've heard, which has shown itself in this show, is there was this underlying theme of a global viral pandemic that they had to completely rewrite and take out of the show because it hit too close to home when the real pandemic hit, right?
We're going to get into a scene that they cut out that I think had directly to do with that global pandemic that they were going to feature in this show, and they cut out. So we'll get into that.
All right. Well, before we get started, we always want to start by thanking our sponsor, Studio G, G Studios, Home of the Man Band, Corn on the Cob, Animal Names. If you haven't checked it out, please visit their YouTube page. The link is in the show notes. It's in the description of the YouTube video. Please go visit them. Support them. They are our first and best sponsor, and please help them out. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, subscribe to the channel and check out some videos. Watch the commercials. That helps them out tremendously. And they're going to be producing and pushing out some great new music, great new videos, and it's a lot of fun. It's just, you know, it's fun. And in these days with the pandemic and the shutdown of so many things, you need that release. So check it out.
Yeah, content creators are really what we need right now in this global pandemic.
Like us.
So many people, right. So many people are consuming content on their own pace, at their own leisure. You know, Studio G is going to be able to deliver that to you as well. So please go support them. And then we also want to make sure we thank the listeners that are bringing you this show as well. Those are our patrons. Patreon.com/supertalk. You want to support the show directly, go to our Patreon page. $1 per episode. That's all you need to support the show directly. And those of you who've done it already and that are our patrons, we can't thank you enough.
Absolutely.
Because you are our best sponsors. For
absolutely.
Sure.
And this isn't free. We do this because we love it, but it does, it has a cost, a monetary value to it. So, but thank you so much. Those guys are great. And we really appreciate those people.
And as we've said before, Titanium, anything that's given to us is going to be given back to our listeners. We are not in this to make money. We are not in this to do it for profit. We are in it because we love it. And anything we get out of this is going to be given directly back to our listeners.
Goes
so
right back. Yep.
Thank you for all your support.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, let's get into episode 5 of Falcon Winter Soldier. As you mentioned, Titanium, your favorite episode thus far. And
yeah,
we really got some real big character development, real big reveals to some extent, and some things that we knew were coming, not really surprises to us, but the way that they came was pretty great.
Yeah, it was great. They took some really neat angles, and they departed from comic book, I guess the comic book stories and some of these things, and I thought it was great. There's still some questions to be answered. You know, I think they're really toying with us with Sharon Carter. is she the power broker? Is she not? I mean, that is a sneaky, devious thing that they did by throwing that
smoke
scene
show,
there.
By the way.
Absolute smoke show. She's an absolute smoke show.
So we'll walk through the episode real quick.
Yeah.
We start off at the end of episode 4. We saw John Walker kill one of the Flag Smashers in broad daylight in front of the world, basically, because the entire video of him doing it was broadcast across the internet. And then we start the episode this week with him running from that scene.
Yeah.
Goes into a warehouse. He's coming to grips with what he just did and, you know, his friend dying, and he comes to grips with that.
Well, his mind is racing, and you can tell the super serum is having an effect on his thinking process and the way he's kind of, you know, he's having flashbacks of Lamar, and he's going through a lot of emotions. It's a good scene.
Yeah. And you know, we felt last week that he was losing it to some extent.
Yeah.
And then we got confirmation of that this
week.
Oh,
he's lost it.
And Buck and Sam track him down,
yeah,
find him in the warehouse and say, you know, John, you know, this has to come to an end. We don't want anybody else to get hurt. You need to give us a shield. And he's like, oh, that's what you wanted, was yeah, the shield. And basically,
you don't want to do this, he said. And then Bucky with that line.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do.
That was
badass.
Great.
That was a badass line. And I also think about this. The music in that background was so, it added to that whole scene. And the fight scene, tremendous. That was great.
Yeah, I'll talk about that a little bit later in the episode when we get to some later parts of the episode. But the composer who worked on Falcon and Winter Soldier was the same composer that worked on Captain America Winter Soldier, as well as Captain America Civil War.
Civil War.
So same composer, and he did bring back a lot of the same music from those movies.
Yes.
That were in relative kind of context to the same scenes in those movies to this show.
Yeah.
So I think it's been phenomenal. But that fight scene was very reminiscent of the fight scene with Bucky
right,
and Cap against Iron Man. Now we got Bucky and Sam versus you know, U.S. Agent or the current version of Captain America, John Walker. And their entire intent is to get the shield away from him. They're like, yeah, you know, you cannot have this anymore because that is a symbol that you have denigrated. There's blood all over it. we need to get rid of, you need to get rid of it. And he wouldn't give it up. And he's like, hey, I'm going to, if I'm going out, I'm going out fighting. And that fight scene was fantastic.
Yeah. It just shows you how powerful he is. He took on two guys, two Avengers, basically.
And one is a super soldier.
And one is a super soldier with a vibranium arm. I mean, that was pretty cool scene.
Yeah, it was great. And the fight scene was fantastic. And the two of them worked very well together, which we had seen all the way through the show. Bucky using his strength and combat skills to kind of, you know, be more physical with John Walker, whereas Sam using his wings in very creative ways. In a couple of instances, he used his wings to trip him. He'd use his wings to hit him. He had, you know, flown, tried to grab the shield with a tether and fly away with it, and John Walker stopped him.
Yeah.
They're able to get the shield away from him eventually by breaking his arm.
Yeah, they broke his arm. They broke his arm getting the... I guess Sam was using the power, the jetpack.
After John Walker had torn his wings off.
Yeah.
So, you know, John Walker pinned Sam to the ground and tore his wings off.
A little symbolic there, right? Getting your wings torn off. You know, I thought that was kind of symbolic. Sam's going through a transformation. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Take these broken wings. Yeah. So I thought it was really great that, you know, and every time that John Walker got to the point where he was going to hit somebody very hard with the shield, the other person would jump in and save him.
He was going to kill them.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's lost.
He was out for blood. But eventually they do get the shield away. Sam using the thruster from his wings, and Bucky using his own strength. They are able to tear the shield away from him, break his arm, end up knocking him out. Yeah. And they leave. We're like, okay, he's going to jail or wherever he's going, and we've got the shield. So yeah. we knew that was going to happen at some point in time, and we finally found out how.
Yeah, that was great. I thought they did that very well. Yeah.
And we go back to, I guess, the base where they are, and we see Lieutenant Torres is there, and he's, you know, saying, oh, yeah, we don't know what John Walker, the bad thing. You know, it's kind of an international incident. And he's like, what happened to your wings? And Sam's like, no idea. He's like, you can keep them. So he's done with the wings at that point in time.
That's what I was talking about earlier. I alluded to that he's kind of given up the wings and basically saying given up the Falcon. I think he's made his decision to toy around with becoming the new Captain America.
So Buck leaves, goes on his own way. Sam leaves, goes on his own way. The next scene, we find out that Bucky is now going to track down Nemo, and he finds him. And he finds him at?
Zemo.
Or Zemo. Why is that Nemo? Zemo. He finds Zemo at the Sokovia Memorial that was there, that was built after Sokovia was crumbled.
Yeah.
And Zemo says to Buck, I expected you sooner, right?
Yeah.
But great scene between the two of them.
Yeah, powerful.
Right? You know, Bucky pulls a gun on him, says, you know, we're going to, you know, and Zemo tells him, hey, you know, Carly's gone.
Radicalized. She's gone.
Completely radicalized. There's only one way you can take her down. That's to kill her. You know, you've been programmed to kill. You know you can do this. And Buck says, you know, we're going to do this our own way.
Right.
And he pulls a gun on him, and he threatens to shoot him. And he does actually pull the trigger, but... reveals to him that he had taken the bullets out and he wasn't going to kill him. And then the Wakandan Dora Milaje show up and take him away.
Where they're taking him to the raft, right? Yeah. Let me just talk about that scene real quick, because in early trailers for the Falcon and Winter Soldier, that scene where he's at the memorial, the Sokovia Memorial, the flooring is very different. And there kind of is a lot of flags and flowers and other memorial, like type at a death scene you would see, you know, when someone dies or something, there's flowers and notes and pictures all around that memorial. And they got away with that. And I think what they're theorizing is that scene was shot when the original plot was in place about the pandemic that was going through, that the Flag Smashers released, or that whatever the virus pandemic thing that they had their first plot. So they got rid of that, and it was cleaner, and the flooring was more tiled. And so that was just interesting.
Interesting tidbit there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we know that he's being taken to the raft, which is also a very interesting thing as well, because they weren't taking him back to Wakanda. They're taking him to the raft, and we know who pretty much is in charge of the raft.
Thunderbolt Ross,
you know, as we saw in Civil War,
is
the one that has some jurisdiction or at least some control over the raft and the people that are in it. And we've always theorized that some version of the Thunderbolts is coming along, and if Zemo is in the raft, then we know where to get him if we need him, right?
Is Marvel really screwing with us that bad? I mean, they got to give us the Thunderbolts, right?
I think setting up John Walker and Zemo as kind of this anti-hero, I think it's almost a foregone conclusion at this point in time.
Especially if they're going to send him to the raft. Yeah. I mean, that was a huge telltale sign.
And the other interesting part of that conversation was Buck stops.
In case you don't know what the raft is, just can you explain it just real quick?
Yeah, so the raft is a superhuman prison that in the Marvel Universe, it's a prison. So in DC, we had the Arkham Asylum where they put all the crazy major criminals. In the Marvel Universe, they had the raft. The raft is a prison that is in the middle of the ocean. So
it's moving. It's floating.
There's the only way to get there is by aircraft. You can't, you know, or by boat, I guess. But it's in the middle of the ocean, so it'd be even hard to get to by boat. But normally, it's underwater. So the raft submerges itself underwater until somebody needs to come in, and then it comes out of the water, and then somebody can fly.
It's like a giant submarine prison.
It's an underwater prison. So they're like, we're going to put this thing in the middle of the ocean, and we're going to submerge it underwater. So the only way to get there, by submarine, really. And even if you did, I mean, it'd be hard to impregnate. So they're for superhuman villains. I mean, that's where you put the biggest and the baddest villains. They're going to live out their days in this prison.
We saw it in Civil War.
Yeah.
They put the other Avengers in the raft, and that's where Steve Rogers, is he Nomad at that point? Well, we can get into that later, but he comes and rescues them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just pretty cool. But that's where we were introduced to it, and we know that Thaddeus was running it at that time.
Right, because so Iron Man went there when Falcon and Scarlet Witch and Hawkeye and all the others were there. He went there and talked to Sam, and Sam told him where Cap might have gone, and that's how he found him in Civil War. But yes, that
one of my favorite lines in any of Marvel movies is when Clint Barton is saying, "The futurist, ladies and gentlemen, the futurist is here."
Right.
That was cool.
So many great characters.
It is.
But yeah, so we also see in that scene is Bucky asks, what's her name? Oyo or Oy?
The Ayo?
Ayo.
Uh-huh.
Asked her, I might have one other favor. One last favor.
Well, she tells him to make himself scarce in
Wakanda. Don't come back to Wakanda, White Wolf, because you're not going to be welcome.
Well, just make yourself scarce for a while.
Right.
She doesn't say you're banned. She just says, make yourself scarce.
Right.
And he asks for a favor,
A favor, and which we see in the next scene. A couple of scenes later, he brings a package to Sam, which we'll find out next episode. But the most important scene, I think, of the episode is the next one where Sam went to Baltimore and he wanted to talk to Isaiah Bradley.
Yeah.
So he flies to Baltimore, goes to Isaiah's house, and he says, you know, brings the shield with him. Yeah. And Isaiah doesn't want to have anything to do with the
shield.
Doesn't want to see it. It says the stars and stripes mean nothing to me.
Right.
And it was a really powerful scene in Isaiah explaining everything that happened to him, how he got the super soldier serum, why he was imprisoned.
Right.
Him and a couple of the other people that got the serum went on a mission. A couple of them got captured. He wasn't going to let them, you know, stay captured. So he freed them. And then was arrested because of it. And he talked about the fact that most of them died after the fact. And the serum only worked on him and nobody knew why. And they used that as an opportunity to experiment on him for 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a powerful scene.
His wife died while he was in prison. Yeah. All the letters that she wrote him, he never received until after he was freed.
A nurse took pity on him and faked his death certificate. So they looked like he had died. And helped him escape and gave him all the letters that his wife had been writing him.
Yeah, and basically the whole premise of the scene was, from my perspective, was Isaiah telling Sam, they never will let a black man be Captain America. It would never happen. And that Sam was asking him, he said, why? You could have been the next. And he said, next what? They never would have let me be Captain America. The red, white, and blue, blonde hair, blue eyes. They were never going to let it happen to me. And he's convincing Sam that anybody that thinks, anybody of color that thinks that they can be Captain America is crazy.
Yeah.
And that's Sam really coming to grips with the fact that he was given the shield by Steve. And it was a powerful, you know, thing. And this is something that he really needs to consider, is that what impression is he giving off by taking on this mantle, and can he handle it?
Yeah.
And that was Isaiah basically telling Sam, don't bother. You're never going to do it. You'll never be successful. Nobody will ever accept you. And Sam, it was really powerful for him. He basically felt like it was a gut punch at that point in time. He's like, gosh, you know,
a lot to think about. Yeah. Now Isaiah's has every right to be that
bitter.
Disgruntled and bittered. Sure. Absolutely. But you know, Sam said it's a different time, you know, and I hope he's right. So we'll see.
Well, and then we get Sam going back to his home in Louisiana with his sister and his nephews. We know the situation they're in. They have a fishing boat that is in disrepair, doesn't work. They're not able to make money, and the money it would take to fix the boat is not even enough to sell the boat. So the money they would put in to fix it, they couldn't sell the boat for more. So they're in a bad situation, and Sam ends up calling in some favors for, you know, supposedly the Wilson parents were very generous to the local community.
Right.
And he starts calling in some favors, say, hey, we're in trouble. We need some help. And all the locals come in and they pitch in. And
they rally around them.
Right. Yeah. Hey, Wilson family's in trouble. We'll help out. And
so does Bucky.
Yeah, that was a great part when you know, they bring a new, I guess it was an engine or a motor or something that they needed for the boat. And they're like, how are we going to get this off the truck? And Bucky just lifts it up and just slams it down on the dock and says, you know, you're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome. You need some help. And he hangs out with him for a couple of days. And this was really, I think, my favorite part of the episode. Really got to see this kind of pseudo, I mean, they've always been friends of convenience and never really friends.
Yeah.
And you really started to see the friendship between the two of them develop. And you know, I think both of them start to realize they had more in common than they have apart. And, you know, I think Buck, for sure, needs people like Sam in his life because he has nobody. And he admits to that later in the episode. I really have nobody.
Yeah. That shield is the only family I have. That's
right.
What he said.
The closest thing to family I have, right? That's all I have left.
Yeah.
And Sam, you know, is in a bad situation with his family and need some help, and Buck's there helping him repair the boat and is, you know, doing everything he can to help out and, you know, just being a genuine friend. Yeah. And he brings a suitcase with him, which we see, and he's like, you know, I called in a favor from the Wakandans.
Yeah.
And he doesn't open it right away.
No.
Not surprised, but he doesn't open it right away. But they get through repairing the boat, and great scene with him, with Sam and his sister. They basically fix the boat. It's ready to go. And they're going to just paint over the name, their parents' names that's on the name of the boat. And his sister stops him and says, I can't sell the boat. I can't. And Sam's like, that's really important because this is our legacy. This is our family. This boat is our family. And so it's important for us to keep it. And that was really cool.
Yeah.
But then we get that scene we've seen in the trailers many times of Sam and Bucky in the front yard tossing the shield around, you know, saying, hey, you know, this is hard. This shield, you know, requires work. It requires, you know, and there's a lot more that goes into it.
Yeah.
And
great. Sam does a little counseling for Bucky and
that
gives him a
awesome.
Little tough love because that is Sam's wheelhouse.
Right.
And I thought it was spot on. Oh. And I think Bucky really appreciated it. And I can see both of them realizing what Steve saw in them as individuals. And now they see what Steve saw in each other. So I think that was a really important scene, and Sam helped Bucky realize that his amends, he was probably doing it wrong for the wrong reasons. And I think that was powerful for Bucky to realize
that. And Bucky also relates to Sam that Steve had told him that he planned to give the shield to Sam. And Buck says, I don't think either Steve or I knew what it meant to give this shield to a black man.
Yes. Yeah.
We had no idea what that meant. And he said, I'm sorry for that because this is probably a big deal. And we should have thought about that. And again, in Steve's defense, he knew who Sam was as a person. And he knew that he could take on the mantle successfully. And he's like, he deserves it. And he didn't think second about it, right?
Right.
But Bucky now realized, hey, this is a big deal. We should have probably put some more thought into this. What does this mean? How can we make this better?
Right.
Is there any, you know, and that's what Sam was struggling with.
Yeah.
And, you know, they toss it around a few times and they're practicing a little bit back and forth. And Bucky has no desires to take it on himself. And he's like, look, he says, I got my own demons to deal with. You need me, I'll be there.
Yeah.
But until then, you know.
Yeah, that banter back and forth was kind of.
It was great.
Kind of cool, yeah.
It was great. I mean, it really showed.
Not coworkers.
Yeah. Well, we're coworkers, not friends, but not partners, but coworkers. And, you know, but you can kind of see this friendship developing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Close interpersonal relationship they have. And it was great. And then Buck leaves, and we get this montage of Sam training with a shield for, you know, a good 5 minutes.
It was great.
It's fantastic. And him, you know, really working really hard to train himself to use it properly. And, you know, understanding that this thing has its own kind of properties. And a few times, you know, he'd throw it and it would glance off of something, or he'd throw it and it'd come back too fast and it would go over his head. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
Just watching him train, like knowing that this is not something that's easy. I have to work at it. Yeah. And by the end, he kind of gets it.
Yeah.
And you know at that point in time, he has decided, I'm taking this on. This is something that John Walker completely ravaged. And I'm ready for it. And I'm taking it because I can do it and I should do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And he took his own advice that he gave Bucky. If you got to put in the work. And that's what he was doing. And I think at that point he's decided he's going to give Captain America a shot. He's going to try it.
Well, and I mentioned the music earlier. That entire montage of him tossing that shield around was the Captain America theme song that's played during every end credits of every Captain America movie that's been out so far.
Yeah.
That was the song that was being played while he was doing all that. So they were telling us as an audience that this is somebody who's turning himself into the next version of Captain America.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, really cool. And then he gets a phone call from Lieutenant Torres who says, oh, I found Carly.
Yeah, there's a signal that they've tracked throughout Europe right before every Flag Smasher incident. And that same signal was detected in New York, where the GRC? GRS or GRC?
GRC.
GRC is having a conference, right?
There's a big vote about this. All the refugees, the GRC refugees, and there's a big vote about how do we repopulate them? Where are we going to put them all? And the Flag Smashers have decided that they're going to interrupt that vote. And Lieutenant Torres had tracked down Carly into New York, and Sam says, I've got it from here. And then we see him open the case, but they don't show us what's in the case, but we have a feeling we know what's in the case.
I said it last episode. I said, they got to give me the Falcon Captain America outfit, and I think that's what's in the case.
Yeah, and that's the way it was in the comic books. Yeah. He was still Falcon. He still had his wings. He still was able to fly.
He was still able to use his skill set.
Red, white, and blue with the shield. And that, I mean, that's what we're all hoping for, and I think we'll get that eventually. But going to the Flag Smashers, the other big reveal, as you alluded to earlier, is we got a scene with Sharon Carter in Madripoor making a phone call to Batroc.
Uh-huh.
And Batroc, she's like, hey, you know, if it weren't for me, you'd be rotting in the Algerian prison. So she got him out of prison, you know, and had something to do with him back in Captain America Winter Soldier, because she mentioned, you know, the fact that she knew him before.
Well, actually, Nick Fury was the one that hired him to hijack that ship. And then It sounded like she was the one that hired him to hijack that soldier or something. We confused about who they were trying to take from that plane.
We don't know. But at least she has some relationship with him. She knows
Yes.
him. She offers him a large sum of money and says, it'll be worth your while. I need you to do something for me. And then Batroc shows up in the middle of
New York,
Central Park, New York, where we see Carly and the Flag Smashers. He shows up and hands them a briefcase with some weapons in it. And
some kind of tech, yeah.
And says, you know, I'm here to kill the Falcon. He says, I don't want to have anything to do with your movement. I'm here to kill the Falcon.
Yeah, he's not about the movement.
And she says, you'll get your chance, but we have some other, this is a test. We have some other things we have to do. She rallies all the Flag Smashers, and we see them go into the GRC and take over the meeting that they're having and the vote that was pending. And they basically are then in there. And that's how that part scene ends. So we know that they're taking over the GRC or at least doing something to interrupt that vote.
Yeah. And that's the whole tease with Marvel and, you know, Sharon Carter as the power broker. I still don't think it is. I know they want us to believe she is. And I hope she's not, because I don't know people. I'm pulling it out of my ass.
She could be Mephisto, though.
Yeah, I know she's Mephisto. but I just don't think she is. Several people have mentioned that it's a he. Zemo knew him before. She could be. Marvel could be keeping it simple and making her the power broker. I don't think so. But I definitely think she is dealing in working with the power broker or, something.
So it's one
close.
Of two things, Titanium. It's she has gone over the line and created an evil persona. She's become a criminal because she was ousted from the intelligence community of the United States.
To infiltrate them, maybe.
Well, that's the other option. Either she is really a criminal or she's doing this on the behest of somebody else who's having her do it so that she can be kind of the conduit, kind of an inside agent that's working through that. So we'll find that out, yeah. I'm sure.
Let's talk about the big cameo, shall we?
Yeah, so John Walker, when he comes back, is in front of a committee led by the senator who's leading the GRC, who also gave him the shield to begin with, and looks like the Joint Chiefs of Staff or something. And they tell him, hey, you are no longer Captain America. You've been stripped of that title.
Right.
You're getting a less than honorable discharge from the military, and you will have nothing else to do
no
with
benefits,
the government.
No benefits, nothing, yeah.
Nothing. And, he was
pretty... We want the shield back.
He was pretty pissed off. He was like, look, you created me. I did everything you asked me to. I'm only here because of you. You know, I'm not doing anything that you didn't train me to do.
Right.
He was pretty pissed. He leaves that hearing and goes down the hall, and he's sitting there with his wife, and all of a sudden, the special cameo that we've been teased is Julia Louise Dreyfus.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool with a dark purple stripe in her hair.
So she's playing a character who is a character in the comics, so that is not... who she introduced herself as is not somebody who's new. So
right.
This is a character who's been in the comics before. It was Contessa Valentina Allegra de Fontaine.
Yeah. Call me Val, but only in your mind. Don't say it out loud.
Right. So in the comic books, she was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
She was in S.H.I.E.L.D. She was a lover of Nick Fury at
right.
some point in time. She was somebody who...
Professor dropping knowledge.
Definitely played the double agent role very well.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually infiltrated Hydra.
Part of a Russian spy, right?
Right. Became Madam Hydra at some point in time, but it was really kind of a dual op thing. She was doing it on behest of S.H.I.E.L.D. and was able to take down Hydra from the inside and all these.
Now, didn't Madam Hydra run Madripoor at some point?
Yes, but okay. Not her. It was a different version of
it. It was a different version. That was the Skrull version, right?
It's hard to say. Okay. Hard to say. But yeah, so this is somebody from the comic books. It's not a new character that was created, but she told John Walker, look, what's happened to you is not fair. And oh, by the way, that shield doesn't belong to the government. It's a gray area, she said. It's a legal gray area, but she said, when your phone rings, answer my call.
Yeah.
Intimating that she is part of some organization that can use somebody like John Walker and his talents and the fact that she knows he has a super soldier serum and that, you know, hey, you're a valuable asset and you might be useful some point in time.
Right.
So we'll see where it goes with this character.
Yeah, that'd be interesting how that she plays out. A great actress.
Yeah, great cameo.
Great casting.
Yeah.
She's sassy and like a smart ass and funny. What a great casting for that type of character. I can't wait to see how that plays out.
And again, they're setting up a lot. I really hope, unlike WandaVision, I really hope they tie off all of these loose ends next episode. I really hope that, I mean, think about it. Here's all the questions we don't know answers to. Who is the power broker?
Right.
What is Sharon Carter up to, if anything? Do we know if she's good or bad?
Right.
How is Contessa Valentina de Fontaine going to play into this and the future of John Walker? What's
right.
that all up to? Does Sam get his new uniform and become Captain America?
That one I think is a given.
That we're hoping that's
yeah.
pretty much a given, right? And then what's the future of the Flag Smashers? I mean, what happens to them and all that? So there's a lot of unanswered questions. I just hope they tie off on all those loose ends by
the
end of the show.
I don't think we're going to get that. I'm going to tell you my honest feeling is I think they're going to leave us hanging. I think it's going to be another the White Vision flying off and no answers to what the hell he is, where he's going, what happens to him. I think that's what's going to happen. I really do.
So you think that we're going to be left with a lot of
Monica Rambeau talking to the Skrull in the movie theater and not knowing what's happening next.
Okay.
I think they're going to leave it open.
Well, and it makes a lot of sense if what we've been told is true. These Marvel series are only going to be leading into future movies / Marvel series. And if that's the case, then they're setting us up for stuff we're going to see in the future, which is fine. Like
right.
if they're using this as a way to set up future plot points that we're going to see in a movie somewhere.
I'm all about the catalyst.
Fine.
Use it as a catalyst to push us forward in the narrative of the storyline, pushing it forward into the big screen and more small screen stuff. But to leave us hanging, I have a feeling that's Marvel's MO.
I mean,
they're going to answer some questions.
Well, but knowing what's on the docket here in the next year, let's look at the next year. If there are unresolved issues in this show, when will they be resolved? This show was supposed to come out after the Black Widow movie, originally.
Yeah. Well, she was supposed to be a cameo in the Black Widow.
Who?
Julia Louis-Dreyfus. She was supposed to be in the Black Widow. That's when they were going to debut her cameo.
Okay.
In the Black Widow movie.
Well, that Titanium dropping some knowledge there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Get off.
Finally.
The dark web.
I can't.
I am
off the dark web because you told me that there was stuff from the Spider-Man that was dropping, and I don't want to hear any of it.
I know. But if. So this was supposed to come out after Black Widow. So I don't think Black Widow is going to tie off on any of these plot points.
No.
Because it was supposed to come out afterwards.
Correct.
So I'm thinking, well, what's coming out next that will tie off on these? Well, I don't think the Shang-Chi is going to do anything. I don't think Eternals is going to say anything
Absolutely
about this.
Absolutely not.
I don't think the next Doctor Strange movie. I don't think
Love
and Thunder.
Well,
I don't think Hawkeye.
I think Doctor Strange will tie into some of this. I think we will get some closure. I think that at least to WandaVision, right? I think
WandaVision, but not this one.
Oh, no, not
I'm
this one.
I'm talking about this
oh,
one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think we'll
Falcon
get some
Winter
answers.
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
So my point is, if there are unresolved...
Spider-Man?
No.
Far From Home?
No.
None of it.
Right. That's my point, is that there are unresolved things in this show. If we're not going to get answers to that for 2 years, does that really benefit Marvel?
No.
So anyway, I mean, the Hawkeye series, maybe. The She-Hulk series, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. But again, you can't leave these unresolved plot points for too long because people forget about them. That's my question.
I'm in your house. I am all aboard with your philosophies, your theories, your innuendos. I am all about it. But I'm telling you, I have this
and
gut feeling.
It's in so WandaVision was the first show where we were left hanging big time in a lot of ways. Some major unresolved plot points there. they've done usually a pretty good job of giving us that final scene of a movie that kind of resolves some of those things. Like if you remember in Endgame could have ended with the big battle, but it didn't. We went to the funeral. We saw where everybody was. We saw, you know, Tony's final speech to his daughter. We got some resolution of what happened. This one, if we end this series without answering some of these questions, like when are they going to get answered? If there was a movie coming down in September, I'd be like, oh, well, we'll just wait for that movie. But it's not coming. And that's what I'm saying.
Well, nothing to do with the Falcon and Bucky, right? I agree.
Yeah.
I think let's cross our fingers.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into some other news. So not too much news that hit the wire this week. The one thing that I know Titanium and I were privy to is that, so Alfred Molina, anybody remembers, Alfred Molina played Doc Ock in Spider-Man 2, the Tobey Maguire version of Spider-Man 2, really great movie, probably the best Tobey Maguire movie version of Spider-Man. That Spider-Man 2 was fantastic, and Alfred Molina plays Doc Ock in that movie. It had been rumored for a long time that he was coming back as Doc Ock in the next Spider-Man No Way Home movie. The worst kept secret in the history of worst kept secrets. It was rumored that he had been signed, and now he's in his 60s, and he had come out this week and had a couple of interviews and basically confirmed, I'm in the movie. Yes, I'm in the movie. It's the worst kept secret ever. Nobody knows this. And he says, the good news is, yes, I'm in my 60s. I'm not as agile and physical as I used to, but the arms do all the work. Right. It's fantastic. So we know he is confirmed. He's in the movie. He does play a role, and he is going to be somebody that we'll see in that movie.
That's great. I heard that maybe they're going to answer him drowning, you know, when he pulled that
sphere of energy, power.
When he pulled it and drowned it in the river, I heard they're going to pick it up from there. I hope, but we'll see. It's interesting. I told you, I'm very cautious of that movie. It's getting crowded, and I trust in Marvel.
It seems incredibly complex.
Yes.
It seems like they're going to be, bringing back old characters from other movies and introducing the multiverse, and Doctor Strange is going to be in the movie. And
tying them into the main plot.
People get trapped in other multiverses and other versions of Earth and all this. I mean, really, it just seems very complicated.
Yeah.
And to your point, Tony, I'm excited for it, but I'm also
cautious.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very scared.
Yeah, me too. Trust in Marvel.
Yeah, that's all we can really do at this point in time. And again, that cast, I mean, we're getting Jamie Foxx's Electro. Scorpion's going to be in the movie, we hear, potentially. The Green Goblin's going to be in the movie.
Keaton as the Vulture.
I mean, they're all going to be in it. And
it's getting crowded.
Spider-Man, it's going to be insane, right?
Hopefully it's just a bunch of cameos and we get a lot of Tom Holland.
All right, well, we'll get into our topic of the week this week. And before we do, I did want to mention to you, and if you guys haven't checked this out, you really should. I have been watching Invincible. On Amazon Prime. So
it's good, isn't it?
Yeah. So for the audience here, Invincible, animated show from Amazon Prime.
It's based on a comic book.
Yes. And it's about a kid who's the son of a version of Superman.
Omni-Man.
Right? Omni-Man.
He's from another planet.
Who's from another planet. He comes to this planet, marries an Earthling. They have a child. This is the kid who ends up becoming Invincible, the character. Really, really good, and wow, dark. Like, I binge, so Titanium had been watching the show and been telling me about it. I'm like, I'll check it out. I watched the first episode, and it seemed like a pretty normal episode until like the last 10 minutes. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
This got dark.
It's heavy.
Quick.
Yeah.
And it's pretty intense. And so
the guy that did The Walking Dead did this.
Oh, really?
So that's why it's so
boring.
So
they're on episode 5 or 6 now or something like that? I think there's...
Just watched it. I think it's episode 6.
6. Yeah, 6 episodes in. So if you haven't checked it out, check it out. It really is a good watch and good characters. And as you mentioned to me before, some incredible voice actors voicing the characters in this show.
Yeah.
We got J.K. Simmons as Omni-Man.
Yeah.
We got, gosh, who there's like a ton of people that you would recognize.
A-list actors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So you check it out. I just want to mention that.
Good. Oh, and one more thing. Doctor Strange is wrapping up this week. So Doctor Strange, and you were talking about...
Principal production is wrapping, right?
So you were talking about how the worst-kept secret in Marvel is everything to do with the Spider-Man movie. But have you heard anything about this movie?
So that's the big story.
Just that Wanda is in it.
The big story about Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness is principal production is wrapping this week, and we've gotten zero leaks and zero footage from that movie.
Strong.
So they have been ultra secret about what's going on with that movie. So, you know, again, as a fan, in some ways, I'm pleased by that because now we'll be surprised.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, the top of the week this week, I kind of wanted to talk through the different versions of Captain America in Marvel, right? So we know about Steve Rogers, the OG, the original Captain America, debuted in the comic books in the 40s. We know his backstory. Scrawny kid, wasn't able to join the army because he was too small, ends up volunteering for this experiment, gets the super soldier serum from Dr. Erskine, becomes Captain America. We know that story.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Great job. They did that a great job in First Avenger.
Great character. And Chris Evans has just crushed that role in the movies, has absolutely crushed it. And so we know that version of Captain America, but let's talk about the other versions of Captain America. So we're assuming that Sam Wilson in The Falcon and Winter Soldier is going to assume the mantle of Captain America. But I wanted to kind of talk through some of the other versions of Captain America in the comics that we know about.
Yeah.
So the first one that we've seen in this show is Isaiah Bradley, right? So Isaiah Bradley was part of a experiment the government ran. There was a phenomenal, and by the way, the name of this episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier was Truth.
Truth, yeah.
So Truth was the name of the comic book series that covered the entire Isaiah Bradley storyline.
Oh, cool.
So it was called Truth, Red, White, and Black.
Yeah.
So that was something that I really picked up on in the name of the episode was called Truth. I'm like, oh, well, they're talking about Isaiah Bradley. So Isaiah Bradley was part of a group of 300 African-American soldiers. They were given versions of the super soldier serum. Most of them died. A handful of them survived. Isaiah talked about the fact that some of them got captured and he went to free them. But ultimately, he ended up being the only survivor. He just happened to be the lucky person that the serum worked on him.
Yeah.
But he was a version of Captain America briefly, but never really took on the mantle of Captain America.
Right.
Kind of stole the mantle, which is why he was put in prison. But he was a version of Captain America at some point in time. There was a character in the comics called William Burnside. So there was a period of time in the comics. So Captain America comes out in the comic books in the 40s. He gets put on ice, right? So we know he put on ice and we don't see him for decades.
Yeah.
But, you know, later on, maybe in like the 70s, there's an individual named William Burnside. He is a Captain America historian, and he's a very big fan of Captain America. And he finds some version of the super soldier serum. And he convinces the army to allow him to take on the mantle of Captain America and fight in the Korean War. And he goes through plastic surgery to change his appearance to look exactly like Steve Rogers.
Wow.
And he's ready to go, take the serum, and the army's like, the Korean War's over. We don't need you anymore. And he says, screw that. And he ends up taking the serum anyway. And it drove him mad, made him crazy, and they ended up having to put him in stasis because he was like some crazy mad version of Captain America. Later on, like many, many decades later, they like unfroze him and they were able to cure him and all this other stuff. But he ended up going mad from the serum. So it wasn't a perfect version of the serum that we'd seen before. There was an individual, Roscoe Simmons. So there was a point in time in the comics where Captain America gave up the mantle of Captain America and became a character called Nomad.
Yeah.
And so they were looking for somebody who could take on the mantle of Captain America. And there was two or three people who tried, and they got killed, like, the first mission they go out. So there was a guy named Roscoe Simmons. He was the first one who successfully kind of really demonstrated the skills to be Captain America. He was trained by Falcon, because Falcon at the time was one of Captain America's best friends, and he kind of trained him. And so he went out and did some missions as Captain America.
And survived.
Until the Red Skull killed him. So the Red Skull knew that he wasn't Steve Rogers, and ended up killing him. And so that he ended up dying because he really wasn't the real Captain America, right? We know about John Walker. So we've seen John Walker in Falcon and Winter Soldier. John Walker, we've talked about before, got superpowers from the Power Broker, ended up becoming a character called the Super Patriot, really talking out publicly against Captain America, took on the version of, took on the mantle of Captain America when Captain America gave up that mantle during the Civil War storyline. And we know what happened to him. He went kind of crazy and started killing people. And
U.S. agent did, not Captain America, right?
Well, he was Captain America when he was killing people.
Right,
and then
yeah.
Steve Rogers, who had kind of come back as a different version of Captain America at the time, took the mantle from him, says, you know, you're basically dirtying the name, you're dirtying the shield, you know, and so he had to confront him and take it back away from him. But that we've seen John Walker, and we see the version of John Walker that we kind of always thought we were going to see in the show so far. Bucky did take on the mantle of Captain America. So Captain America died in the comic books.
Yeah.
He was killed at the end of the Civil War storyline. He was assassinated. And Bucky decided to take on that mantle and become Captain America. And he did that for a while until Captain America came back to life. You know, it happens in the comic books. People aren't always dead forever, right? But he did end up becoming Captain America for some point in time until Steve Rogers did come back eventually. Sam Wilson did take on the mantle of Captain America as Falcon. So he did that. So there's a point in time in the comics where the Super Soldier Serum was stripped from Steve Rogers.
Yep.
So he lost it.
He just became an old man, right?
He became the weak person that he was before he got the Super Soldier Serum. It was basically, he
ended up being a consultant.
Right.
Yeah.
And Falcon said, hey, you know, I'll take on the mantle. And he did take that on. And he became what was called the all new Captain America, was the Falcon version of Captain America. And that's the costume that we're all waiting to see him in the red, white, and blue with the wings and everything else. But
I got to have that.
He did take that on for a period of time. And then more recently, back in about 2015, 2016, there was a version of Captain America, version of Steve Rogers that came back. This is when Falcon, Sam Wilson, had the mantle of Captain America. Steve Rogers came back. And they're like, oh, well, he's back. Well, all of a sudden, we find out he's an agent of Hydra. And he had been infiltrating the government and had convinced Sam and all the other Avengers to do things in line with what Hydra wanted done.
He convinced Sam to give up the shield.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was infiltrating the government. It was basically pulling strings from behind the scenes with the Avengers and fulfilling Hydra's dreams and wishes. We came to find out this was an alternate universe version of Captain America, of Steve Rogers.
He trapped the real Steve Rogers in his universe.
Right. And then Steve Rogers ends up coming back. They confront each other, and Steve Rogers eventually overthrows or kind of, you know, takes down the Hydra version of Captain America and becomes Captain America again. So again, you know, literally in the comic books, you're never dead completely. You know, there's ways you can come back. There's alternate versions. And that's why you and I have been excited about the prospect of Chris Evans reprising his role as Captain America sometime. Hey, is it an alternate universe version of him? Is it, you know, some timeline issue that we don't know about? It could happen.
I think a movie of him returning the stones would be kick ass. Like that whole,
that movie by itself would be awesome.
Just him returning the stones and how
and the life
he
leads
them.
with Sharon.
Well,
you know,
at the end, but the adventures of him returning those stones would be insane. I think that'd be a great movie. But yeah.
Or a Disney Plus series.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that'd be cool. It'd
be great.
Each stone could be like
an episode.
I would say a season. Give me a season. Each stone a season.
That would be great.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, Chris Evans, when Endgame finished, you know, he had kind of retired himself in that role, but has recently come back and said, hey, you know what? I'm open to coming back. It really was the greatest role I've ever had, and I'd be happy to reprise it. And we're all hoping that there's some way that, and who knows, he may show up in episode 6 of Falcon and Winter Soldier.
You never know.
As old man Cap, or who, we don't know.
That'd be cool.
But, you know, I do hope he comes back. I mean, he was literally, when he was cast in that role, because I knew him as, you know, the Human Torch, you know, and from Fantastic Four. It's like, really? But man, he really just crushed it.
That was great. Yeah, he did well. Yeah.
He really did you know, and I just loved the way that, you know, he was. And Captain America, the character, is the heart and soul of the Avengers. And Chris Evans really embodied that. He did a great
job.
Cool.
That's cool. That's a nice little walk down Captain America comic book lore, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff they've been doing with
I mean, at one point, Clint Barton was, I guess, Iron Man had taught Clint Barton.
That was for like 2 days.
And to be that. And then he found out that he was just using him to do his bidding. He gave it up. And then wasn't there, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to throw this at you, but wasn't there at one point Superman became Captain America?
Well, that's in the... And I can bring that at some point in time. So that was when Marvel and DC decided to have a series of DC versus Marvel. So I mentioned this on an earlier episode where Marvel and DC characters fought against each other.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, the two worlds combined temporarily so they could fight each other. And Superman became a version of Captain America for a very short period of time.
Wolverine and Batman became, like, Wolverine became a version of Batman or something.
Yeah, they combined, right? it was crazy. But yeah, and there's alternate versions. Like,
when you have a brand like Captain America, when you have that icon, there's so much you can do with it, right?
Sure.
And they tried to do as much as they could, because anything that was labeled Captain America Returns, Captain America Dies, Captain America Reborn, Captain America Red, White, and Black. I mean, there you go. Cool.
I'll show you that the comic book I'm showing here for the YouTube viewers, Captain America Reborn comic. So that's when he had died and then ended up coming back. You know, and there's other versions. You know, Luke Cage and Jessica Jones have a kid, and she ends up becoming a version of Captain America at some point. I mean, literally just so many different versions of Captain America. And again, the one that we know and love, Steve Rogers. But I think this series has really done a great job of setting up why Sam Wilson can carry that role and why he should.
Yeah.
And Anthony Mackie, and we've talked about this, he has really become a superstar in this TV show.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time the last episode talking about him and his performance. Yeah.
He's been great.
He has
been. I mean, I loved him and all the stuff he did before he was a Marvel character, and he's just shown me why he's even better.
Yeah, good stuff.
All right. Any questions this week?
We don't have any questions, no, but we got, we're getting a lot of action on YouTube and some of our social media, people reaching out to us. They're not asking questions. They're just giving us kudos and, you know, showing us some love.
We'll take them.
And absolutely. And we're doing the same thing with their their channels. So any of you guys that I have been communicating with on YouTube, watching the show, thank you so much. And I kind of dig what you're doing too. So that's cool.
And I do want to point out, as I mentioned, so we've got the finale of Falcon and Winter Soldier next week. And then we're going to have about 4 weeks of time in between that and the start of the Loki series, where we're going to be introducing some new topics, introducing some new things on the show, maybe bringing some guests in.
Yeah.
But we are looking for things that our listeners want to hear about. So if you have an idea of something you'd like us to talk about, if there's something that you have questions that you'd like us to answer, hey, we'll do a Q&A session. So
we got Jupiter's Legacy coming out in May, which will be kind of cool.
Yeah.
We'll get into that a little bit. So
absolutely.
And when are the Boys? I can't wait for the Boys.
I think that's July or July.
I can't
or
wait
August.
For that. Coming soon, guys.
Yeah. So we've got some good stuff. All right. Well, should we call it a show?
Yeah, ring the bell, Professor.
All right. Well, that's it for us this week. We'll be back next week for more Super Talk. To get in touch with us on social media, hit us up on email, supertalkpodcast@outlook.com or @supertalkpod on Twitter. Until then, stay super, everyone.